The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov.
Hezbollah carrying out long expected retaliation attacks. We spoke about this last week on the northern border. Tell me what's going on.
Well, we were advised and threatened already from the moment those drones attacked in Beirut last week, and we discussed that at some length last week. As soon as those drones had been in action in Beirut, we were advised that Hezbollah were going to carry out an attack. They even went as far as saying that the attack that they wanted to carry out would be designed to kill two or three Israelis. That was their plan. Okay, which means this is going to be a retaliation that's not going to escalate to be a situation, a war, an operation. So that was the significance of the two or three Israelis being killed. And of course, the situation on the Israel's northern border has been quite tense. Until late on Friday, no special instructions were issued to civilians in the area. And then all of a sudden, civilian airspace was closed in the northern border over the weekend. And then, of course, yesterday afternoon, we had this retaliation attack where Hezbollah fired some anti-tank missiles over the border towards Israel. Now, this is when things really get interesting, because there were several Cornet anti-tank missiles that were fired. According to Hezbollah, they hit an Israeli military position. And actually, would you believe, they were also fired towards a military ambulance, and they were quite happy to say that. It wasn't kind of in embarrassment that they said, oh, by the way, we thought it was another vehicle. We thought it was a tank or a jeep or something like that, but it turned out to be an ambulance. No, this was actually fired towards a military ambulance. And according to the Hezbollah statement, vehicles and the area, the missiles hit their targets, and there were a number of confirmed hits. And then they reported that the people who had been in those vehicles and in those stations actually had been killed or were injured. And in fact, there were helicopters evacuating injured people, Israeli IDF helicopters evacuating injured people to Rambam Hospital in Haifa. This was all going on the northern border yesterday. And of course, Israel responded immediately by firing over 100 artillery shells into southern Lebanon. And they also carried out an airstrike against the cell that was responsible for carrying out the attack. Except that all of what was going on the Israeli side of the border was smoke and mirrors. Nobody was injured. There were no people killed. The people who were being evacuated in the helicopters were being done for a setup to allow Hezbollah to believe that that their attack had succeeded, that they'd carried out their retaliation, that they could feel satisfied, that they'd done what they'd intended to do, and they would go home happy. Except that in reality, none of that happened. Individuals who were supposedly airlifted to Rambam Hospital were released soon afterwards completely fine, without any injuries or without any problems at all. And life on the northern border was declared back to normal within a very, very short period of time. Everything was set back to normal. There is a little bit of dilemma about what to do on the northern border. Some of the local authorities have actually decided to open bomb shelters, but the official word from the IDF is life as usual today. Of course, children are back to school from yesterday. The new school year has begun. No special instructions at all. This is something that I've never come across in all the years of living in Israel, where they've actually simulated a direct hit when it really didn't happen.
It's incredible. What I don't understand is, I can understand simulating it, but then doesn't it defeat the purpose?
Why advertise?
Exactly. If now we know about it, a couple of hours later, doesn't it just infuriate and maybe exacerbate the situation?
Well, the ball clearly is now back in Hezbollah's court. And herein lies the dilemma for the IDF and the Israeli government, which is, which public are we really talking to here? Because when you talk about IDF soldiers being injured or people being killed or direct hits, then of course that is information that is being consumed by the Israeli public as well as Hezbollah. And if you're talking about a simulation where everything is okay, then similarly to the Israeli public, that's, you know, a pleasing thing to hear. But of course it may well exacerbate the situation with Hezbollah, and it may well, drive them to carry out a further attack in order to really get their revenge. Interestingly, just another little snippet that gets added into this very bizarre but fascinating situation is that actually the U.S. government was quoted the day before yesterday as being in communication with Hezbollah to try to encourage them not to carry out this retaliation attack, which everybody on earth knew was coming at some point in time in some way, shape or form. Everybody was aware that this attack had to be carried out. The U.S. government said to Hezbollah, if you choose not to carry out this retaliation attack, we as the American government will give consideration to easing some of the restrictions that have been placed on Hezbollah as a terrorist organization, which I thought was a terrible message to be sending. But nonetheless, that was the level to which the American government was trying to go in order to discourage some sort of an escalation of the situation on Israel's northern border with Hezbollah. So it's not clear really where things go from here. I mean, the whole simulation yesterday was fantastic. The Israeli public is absolutely lapping this up. I mean, who would have thought of this idea of waiting for the rockets to hit, then having the helicopters ready and having the injured people, I mean, literally with blood and everything, you know, simulated, pouring sure. out, you know, to try to show that these people were genuinely injured, or at least to try to make it look like that. It was really a proper setup that was just waiting to be carried out. So, of course, it's made Hezbollah look a little foolish, and it may well then drive them to want to carry out a more serious attack. So I guess we're going to have to watch the situation in the hope that things don't escalate. The IDF seems confident enough to say the situation is over by just advising all the citizens on that northern border to go back to their daily routines. That's how confident the IDF are, and I'm sure that that doesn't just come from anywhere. In other words, you know, what the IDF are doing seems to be really driven by intelligence information more than anything else. But who's to know whether Hezbollah might not have been infuriated by this whole setup?
Very, very strange. I mean, they have to be, because so much of it is about faith. That's why they have to retaliate in the first place. So that's why it's
true.
Just,
it's true. I just love the ingenuity though of just thinking about, you know, just what the setup really did was it kind of deflected the situation yesterday. In other words, if they hadn't seen casualties and people being evacuated, things like that, the situation yesterday might have flared up to be something a little bit more significant than it really was. Now there's been this moment of you know, just to breathe and just to take stock of the situation. Hezbollah are going to have to, you know, create a new attack from scratch rather than just to continue what they were already in the middle of doing yesterday. And so therein, I think, lies the slight difference, the fact that they may choose on this occasion not to renew the attack and just to keep it as it is. But of course, you know, we also know that Iran is behind all of this, and Iran certainly has a few scores to settle. So, you know, we will be watching eagerly in the hope that the situation is genuinely over as the IDF has positioned it.
I mean, this also kind of links to those silhouettes of soldiers that we read about or heard about last week.
So there seems to be a lot of smoke and mirrors going on in general about how the IDF is operating at the moment. And, you know, trying to simulate situations in order to give our enemies the impression that things are going on when they're really not. And, you know, while this does happen certainly in the espionage world, undercover operations, you know, spies and double agents and things like that, it seems to be very seldom, certainly not something that I've come across, that actually happens on the battlefield out in the open, where either silhouettes are set up in order to try to fool the enemy, or, you know, fake wounded are created in order to try and make the enemy feel as if they've, you know, achieved their goals and attacked their targets. So this is all quite new to me. And I suppose we're all watching, at least the Israeli public are watching, fairly amused, but also wondering whether that's the last that we're going to see of the situation.
Crazy, but fascinating what is going on there.
Before, we've
only got a few minutes left, but I do want to talk about this story. President Trump has formally denied that the U.S. was involved in the catastrophic failure of an Iranian rocket on the launch pad. What do we know about this, Anthony?
Well, this is another failure, because this is the second failure in the space of a few months that the Iranians have suffered with satellite launches and rocket launches on the launch pad. Iran has got this launch pad where for ballistic missiles, which they also use to launch satellites into space. And over the weekend, in fact, it was on Friday that that Donald Trump actually tweeted after the fact that this rocket had actually blown up on the launch pad at this Iranian launch site. And this was, they were preparing for the, they were going through final launch preparations for the Safir SLV, which is at the Semnan launch site number one in Iran. And President Trump actually tweeted saying that the United States was not involved at all in the catastrophic accident during the final launch preparations. And he went on to wish Iran best wishes and good luck in determining what happened at site one. But this is not something that seems to have been very highly publicized around in the international media. This seems to have been very, very low key indeed, despite President Trump's tweet. And that's kind of been left at that. But what what we understand happened was that the rocket actually exploded on the launch pad at the Space Center, which is in northern Iran. And this was reported actually by an Iranian official and was reported through Reuters. So it's all been quite hush-hush. But again, Iran have failed to launch a rocket. Previously, they tried to launch a satellite that exploded upon launch. So one does have to wonder whether there might not be sinister forces at play here sabotaging Iran's attempts to get rockets and to get satellites into space. You know, nothing more has been said. No fingers have been pointed at Israel at all. You know, immediately the Iranians accused the United States, and of course President Trump has denied that. And that seems to have been the end of this particular story. But I just wonder whether it really is the end of the story. That was the second explosion out of three. Iran had said that they would be planning to launch three satellites into orbit by the end of this year. So apparently there's a third one somewhere on the long way. It's going to be very, very fascinating to see whether the Iranians actually succeed in getting that one into space or not.
Absolutely incredible. It's I feel more and more we have no idea what is really going on.
We really don't have any idea going on. And, you know, there were a lot of, there's been a lot of speculation saying, well, you know, perhaps it's because Iran doesn't really have the capability. They don't have the know-how to launch these satellites, to build them and to launch them into space. And that a lot of the, Iranian brain power has left the country, or some of it has actually been taken out. We know that, Iran has suffered a huge a number of nuclear scientists in particular who have died under very, very strange circumstances over the years, and that Iran potentially doesn't have the ability any longer to conduct these technological launches. I'm not sure that that's the case. I just think that there's something sinister behind the scenes, you know, dare I say what I think might be going on. But I think that this is just too much to be coincidental.
Absolutely right.